Pertwright.
Morning, Bill. Come in.
Guess who's been found down a well?
Some bloody charity organiser, I expect. That'll be all I needed.
Oh.
So you've heard already?
Heard? Heard what?
Well, this business about a woman in a well. Mrs. Palgrove. She's a charity organiser, isn't she? Polly Pargle's missus, Brompton Gardens.
Good God.
Well, when you said...
I was joking. The trouble I've had with these charity organisers. Not likely to be natural causes, is it?
Not unless she stuck her own head down the well and kept it there. Could be art, I suppose.
A well, though? In Brompton Gardens?
Oh, it's one of them dummy ones you see at garden centres. Made of concrete, done up to look like stone. With a plastic roof on it and plastic bucket on a chain. Seems it's filled to the brim with water and has fish swimming about in it. She's got gnomes all around, isn't it? Oh, quite a feature. You've not seen it, then?
I've never been on her visiting list. Are you sure about all this?
Well, we've only had a phone report up to now. Seems right, though. Cleaning lady, name of Mrs. George, found her half an hour ago. Couple of the lads have gone to the house.
Right. I think we'd better join them. Come on.
I want Sergeant Love as well. See if he's in the canteen, will you, Bill?
Is that Dover?
Hastings, I suppose.
Correct.
I thought I told you not to ring at lunchtime. It's not convenient.
Yes, I'm sorry, but I thought you would want to be told as soon as possible about something rather disastrous.
How do you mean?
Well, last night, naturally. I mean, contretemps is scarcely the word. As if it weren't enough to have my camera stolen and my car sabotaged.
Camera?
My dear sir, you don't know the half of it. I still don't know what led me to the car, but it certainly wouldn't start. I just had to abandon it and set off for that benighted, blasted cottage on foot.
You what?
I walked. It was about 10 miles and singularly rough going.
It's 4, actually. Heavens, there was no need, man. I'd never have expected you to walk.
I am not in the habit of quitting a job just when it's becoming difficult.
All right. What happened?
My report follows. At approximately 21:30 hours, I proceeded on foot to the premises at Hamborne Dyke, where the subject, Calais, was understood to have arranged a rendezvous with Folkestone. I arrived at approximately 22:30 hours and commenced observation. A car, which I recognised as Folkestone's, was standing in a concealed position at the side of the cottage. Investigation revealed no other vehicle.
For heaven's sake, can't you shorten this a bit?
In matters such as this, one cannot be too fastidious regarding detail and accuracy of the evidence. I might add with respect that if anyone knows how an inquiry agent's report ought to be framed, it is surely an experienced and conscientious inquiry agent.
All right, get on with it then.
Very well. No other... Oh, yes. I noticed signs that the premises were occupied. Lights were on in two of the rooms, one at the front and one at the rear of the house. The curtains of both rooms were drawn. This made observation difficult, but in each case I was successful in obtaining a view of the interior through a gap in the aforementioned curtains. I established by this means that the room at the rear, which I confirmed as being a bedroom, had at that time no occupant. In the front room, however, I observed Folkestone. He was alone and appeared to be drinking. There was no sign of the subject, Calais. I kept Folkestone under observation until 3 o'clock. 300 hours. He left the room twice for short periods. The subject did not appear. At 3 o'clock, I observed that Folkestone was asleep. I therefore took a short rest myself.
Where?
I leaned against a tree. In this profession, one acquires a facility for going into a light doze on one's feet. I had, of course, set what I call my mental alarm clock to arouse me at a reasonable time.
What time was that?
6:30, actually. May I finish my report now?
No. There really wouldn't be any point. Perfectly frank, the situation is not at all what it was.
I'm not sure that I understand.
I'm sorry, the thing is, there has been a reconciliation.
I'm grieved to hear it.
You shouldn't be. The saving of a marriage is a matter for rejoicing, surely.
I hope I've not failed to give satisfaction. I've taken a great deal of trouble, if you don't mind my mentioning it.
Not at all, you've done splendidly.
Well, that's most kind of you. I do hope you understand, though, that in this field of work, a single setback must not be regarded too pessimistically. Folkestone is not necessarily a broken reed, you know. He and Calais will know how to arrange other nights of illicit dalliance, and you'll have the evidence you require. If I might presume to advise a little more patience...
No, you might not. I wish nothing further done in the matter.
Yes, as you like.
You may as well return to London at once. I think, in fact, that would be advisable. I'm sure you have plenty of other...
I think I can manage that.
Good. We'll leave it in a sealed envelope with my name on it in that little shop near the station, the one I told you about. Mm. And whatever you do, don't post it. Oh, incidentally.
Yes?
This isn't important in the least, but I just wondered if you happened to learn our friend Folkestone's real name.
Oh, No. I never actually heard anybody call him anything.
Doesn't matter at all. I couldn't care less now. Are you getting the car put right?
A garage is working on it. It seems the distributor had been removed.
Vandals, I suppose.
Oh, I shouldn't wonder.
That's fine. Don't forget to put it on the bill. And thanks a lot for everything. You just get off back to London, then. Goodbye.
So that's that. You're an odd sort of bird, Mr. Dover. Or whatever your name really is.
Whatever made you pick this car, Sid?
We've only got the two, after all. And there's not much to choose between them mechanically. They're both overdue at the knacker's yard. It's just that the chief constable's been using the other one. With his entire gaggle of Yorkies. Smells like a dog basket.
Enough, Sid.
Turn right here, young Sid.
I know.
Right. You plain tools fellas forget where places are, that's all. Too long off the beat.
I must say, there's some very nice houses round here.
Oh, aye. Debtor's rule, they call this. Ever so posh. You've got to have a mortgage the size of the national debt just to own a dog kennel up round here.
Very appropriate. Mrs. Palgo being one of the town's chief doggy people.
Oh, that reminds me, Governor.
Don't call me Governor, Sid.
Sorry, Inspector. But, you know, I was trying to find out about that grey note paper. The stuff them letters were written on. The ones about being murdered.
Oh, aye.
Well, I found out that Dawson's are the only people that sell it.
Oh, aye.
I can only think of three people who bought any.
Well?
One of them was Mrs. Palbrook.
Ah. Well, then?
Very interesting, I thought. If she wrote appealing for help because she was afraid of being murdered, drowned, and now she's...
Now, we mustn't be too quick to jump to conclusions.
Oh, even so.
As you say, even so, it could be that you've put us onto something important, Sid.
Oh, thank you, Gil. Inspector.
Hey, you.
Are you addressing me, young fella, my lad?
Yeah. You were the one who's come to talk to us last night at that meeting last night, weren't you? You were the one that was pissed.
I was.
Mr. Clay said I'd find you in or outside the Three Crowns. He was right, wasn't he?
The fact that you have accosted me on the threshold of a hostelry you mention does not mean that I was either coming out or about to go in. And who, pray, is Mr. Clay?
The Beak.
The Beak? What, you mean the magistrate?
No, the headmaster.
Ah, yes. I dimly remember the headmaster.
Should think it is only dimly and all. You was bottled. He sent you this, told me to fetch it to you. It's a camera, I think.
Ah, my camera. Well done, young fellow, my lad.
You what?
Here. I insist on rewarding you. Here's a penny.
A penny?
Cut along then, young shaver. You'll just have time to catch the tuck shop before Latin.
Blimey. You're crackers.
By the way, where did this turn up, do you know?
Cupboard somewhere, at the school.
Huh.
Blimey.
You'll have to excuse me. You won't make a mess, will you? I've got to get along home now.
Ah, now you'll be Mrs...
George, Mrs. George. I'll help here, but I shall have to be getting back.
I see. I shan't keep you long, Mrs. George. There are just a couple of things I'd like to ask you, though.
Oh, well,
was it you who telephoned the police station this morning, Mrs. George?
Yes. I couldn't think what else to do.
Then I wonder if you'd mind telling me exactly what you found when you arrived. You'd come to help with the housework, had you?
That's right. I come every day and give a hand. This morning, the bus was a bit late. But even so, I don't think it was quite 9 o'clock when I got here. I went round to the kitchen door, expecting it to be open as usual.
Open?
Well, not open. Unlocked, I mean. Anyway, it wasn't. So, I knocked a few times and waited about a while, but nobody came. So I went to the big door and rang the bell. Well, still nobody answered, and I couldn't hear a sound inside, and I thought, funny, because Mrs. Palgrove hadn't said anything the day before about going away, which she would have done, of course.
Of course.
Well, I thought I'd better give them a few minutes, just in case. So I started to walk about a bit outside and look at the flowers. Of course, it was then that...
Yes, oh, Mrs. George?
Yeah, well... I mean, there she was, sort of doubled over the wall of that well thing. Half of her outside, the other half inside, right in the water. Shoulders, head, right under. And then fishes swimming round in her hair, in and out.
Did you pull her out of the water?
I didn't seem able to manage it. She's quite a big woman, you know.
It was very sensible of you to telephone.
I tried to get her out. I tried always. It was no good, though. I mean, people are a lot heavier than they look, aren't they? Especially when they're lying awkward. Well, anyway, I just couldn't. So I ran down to the phone at the corner. It seemed the best way, I mean...
Of course. By the way, how did you get into the house eventually?
Get in?
Well, you did open the door to us.
Yes. Oh, one of the policemen who came found a window open and he got through. A nice young man. Big. With a red face.
Constable Pook.
I thought he must be.
Must be what?
A Pook. Oh. Well, I've known quite a lot of his family. They've all got that same shaped head and red shiny face. Even the women. I thought he was a Pook. He said it would be all right to come in, though.
I suppose Mr. Palgrove is away from home, is he?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's not here now, and it's not usual for him to leave for business until, an hour or more after I arrive. The other policemen wanted to know, and I told them the same. They'd most likely know at his office. I mean, you could try his office.
I could, couldn't I? All right, Mrs. George, there's no reason why you should stay any longer. You've been most patient.
Right, then. I'll get off. I knew he was a Pook. Minute I set eyes on him. Funny lot.
Constable Pook.
Sarge?
I don't suppose you thought to contact the doctor?
On his way.
Wonders will never cease.
How long do you reckon she's been dead?
Oh, hard to say.
Well, I'd have thought you'd know about these things. You've been coroner's officer. I mean, an hour? 2 hours? More?
Oh, yes. A lot more than two. I'd say it was last night sometime, from the colour of her.
We say, there's something about a dead face, isn't there? It's not... well...
human?
Yes. I suppose that's what I mean. The makeup just makes it look worse, too.
I'd better cover her over, poor soul, till the doctor gets here.
Morning, Constable Pook.
Morning, Inspector. Been dead for hours, sir. Sometime last night from the colour of her.
How long do we think the doctor will be? Anybody know?
Any time now, sir. It's Dr. Ferguson from General. We couldn't get hold of Reynolds.
You've tried to contact the husband?
We haven't had much luck, sir. I rang his firm, but...
That's Kenflat, isn't it?
Yes. I rang him straight away, but he wasn't there. They said he didn't usually turn up before 10. I called a bit later when his secretary had come in, and she said he'd arranged to go to Leicester last night.
When does she expect him back?
Sometime this morning, she thinks.
All right. Well, at least we know why he isn't here. Bill, you'd better get over to Canflax and wait around in case Palgrove goes straight to his office. Break things to him gently and tell him there'll be somebody here waiting.
Right.
What a Swiss.
What?
Miss Well. It's a fake.
You didn't think it was real, did you, Sid?
Well, I didn't expect it to be plastic. Daft thing to keep fishing anyway.
How do you think it happened?
She must have... lean too far over, I suppose.
She'd have a job. Bloody hard on the belly, this edge is.
Now, supposing your hands slipped, Bill, wouldn't your head and perhaps your shoulders go under?
Aye, they might. Just for a second. but I could easily enough yank him out again. Look, as long as you've got the weight of your legs on this side of the ball, you're anchored. You can get your head up any time you like and push yourself back, like this.
Then why didn't Mrs. Palgrove push herself back? It was only the upper part of her body that was in the water, wasn't it, Pook?
That's right, sir. The lady was sort of jackknifed across the wall, one half each side. I could show you if you like, sir.
Oh, no, you needn't do that. I quite see what you mean.
There's only one explanation I can think of.
Heart attack?
Well, it does happen. And she looks overweight, poor soul.
Look who's talking.
That'll do, young Sid. In any case, son, I don't go out feeding goldfish in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night?
Well, it must have been dark, anyway. The lad saw this torch in the bottom. Here, look. And raked it out.
Was there anything else down there?
We only saw that flashlight. But we didn't make what you'd call a proper search. The water's pretty green lower down. Hard to see.
Oh, naturally. Ah, here's the ambulance now. Hey, what's that?
That's Rodney, sir, Mrs. Palgrove's dog. Have to put him in the garage for now.
Oh, that's all right. I thought the chief constable was creeping up on us.
There you are, then. One large brandy. Must say, this is a nice surprise. The state you were in when you went marching off into the wide blue yonder last night. I never expected to see you again.
I said I would return to carry on our conversation from where we left off.
Oh, you remembered then?
How could I keep away, my dear?
Go on. You can call me Helen, if you like.
Oh, I do like very much, Helen.
And you are?
Mortimer.
Oh, Mortimer? Oh, say, I've never known a Mortimer before. I shall call you Mort.
Well, I suppose, if you must.
What's all that writing you're doing, Mort? Do tell me.
I'm preparing an account of professional fees and outgoings.
You're not. You're writing a love letter.
Might I hope that you could be free for an hour or so this evening,
well,
Helen?
I dare say I could tell you, but only if you let me know what you're really writing.
But I've told you, I'm making out an account.
Honest?
Hmm.
You're just another commercial traveller after all, then.
Oh, very well. Now that my assignment is completed, I will tell you. I am a private detective.
No. Go on. Oh, get away. You're pulling me leg.
I'm not pulling your leg, though I do hope to have the opportunity. I am what I say I am.
A private eye?
If you wish.
A dick?
Well, in a manner of... The fact is that I undertook a certain commission that brought me to Flaxborough. My inquiries are complete, my client is satisfied, so now the bill.
And a night off by the sound of it.
Exactly. At what time will you be free?
Well, I can't, actually. Not tonight.
Oh.
It's my day off tomorrow, though, if you're still here, I mean.
Oh, nothing, not plague, famine, civil disturbance, nor act of God will be allowed to take me anywhere else.
Oh, you do talk nice, Morty.
Mr. Palgrove's here, sir.
Oh, Mr. Palgrove. I'm afraid this is a rather sad homecoming for you, sir.
Don't know what to say.
You've heard from the officer what has happened, I suppose, sir.
The gist of it, yes, sir. No details.
We are by no means sure yet how the accident happened, Mr. Palgrove. It's not so much a question of how your wife came to slip into the water as why she was unable to extricate herself.
Poor old Henny was daft about those damn goldfish.
Was Mrs. Palgrove in fairly normal health?
Nothing wrong, so far as I know. Nothing serious.
I was thinking of heart trouble, Mr. Palgrove, or of anything that might have made her subject to blackouts.
No, I don't think. You think she could have passed out?
It does seem to be the only explanation. Who was her doctor?
Well, it used to be old Hilliard. That was a while back.
Dr. Hilliard hasn't been in practice for some years.
Been in a nick for 3 years.
No, I'm sorry. I can't tell you.
Never mind, sir. Now, about these goldfish. Was it usual for Mrs. Palgrove to go out and feed them at night?
Well, I didn't know about feeding. She'd go and look at them at the oddest times, talk to them, show them off to anybody who called.
Do you happen to know if she was expecting a visitor last night?
No idea. Wouldn't be a surprise, though. She was on committees and things, you know. Those people are always in and out of each other's houses. Look, can I get you fellows a drink? Whiskey?
Well, don't mind if I do.
You,
Sergeant Love.
Sergeant?
No thanks. Oh, very nice. The cocktail cabinet. Oh,
180 quid, this little number.
Oh, very nice. I've always fancied one of them.
Rosewood. This veneer, you know.
Rosewood?
I don't think Mr. Palgrove wants to discuss cocktail cabinets just now, Sid.
Oh, no, sorry.
Here you are.
Thank you.
No, the funeral. I've been wondering about the funeral, you know.
Well, you can go ahead with the preliminary arrangements. Sergeant Malley will be in touch with you about the inquest. You'll find him very helpful.
Inquest? That's necessary, is it?
I'm afraid so, sir. Unless, of course, it turns out that your wife's doctor was seeing her regularly and confirms the post-mortem findings, then he'll issue his certificate, I've no doubt.
I see.
There is one possibility that the coroner is always required to examine when anything like this happens. I suppose you realise what that is, sir. Oh, well, a very remote possibility, certainly, but it has to be disposed of.
Good God, man! Who'd want to murder poor old Henny?
Oh, I wasn't actually thinking of murder, sir.
Oh, sorry, misunderstood.
The question I had in mind was whether your wife could have done what she did otherwise than by accident. And you must know her personality, her state of mind. If she was worried about anything, any eccentricities of behaviour, for instance.
I don't know. I'd have to think about that.
Yes. Do that, sir.
It's funny, you know. I shouldn't be surprised if there wasn't something in what you say.
Oh, I didn't mean you to...
No, I know you didn't. Facts are facts, though, and I can't pretend that Henny's attitude to things was altogether normal. She had these terrific enthusiasms, you know. It seemed sometimes that animals meant more to her than human beings. It was her kindness, really, I suppose. I mean, I wouldn't knock her for that. Not now. But she got so worked up about these things. Perhaps I should have seen that there was a danger of her, you know, sort of going over the top.
Did Mrs. Palgrove do much letter writing?
Oh, Lord, you can say that again. Oh, you certainly can. She was forever writing letters. Mind you, she was on committees galore.
So I understand. I wasn't thinking so much of formal correspondence, though. Have you ever known her to write a... what shall I say? An excitable sort of letter.
To be quite honest, I never took that much interest. She'd be capable of it, though. I'm sure she would. She was an excitable sort of woman. Why? Has something of that kind...
It was a hypothetical question, sir. I'm just trying to get a general idea of your wife's temperament.
Can I get you another drink, Inspector?
No, thank you, sir. We'll have to be getting back.
This inquest thing...
Yes, sir.
I suppose I ought to get my solicitor on the job.
Oh, well, that's a matter for you to decide, Mr. Palgrove. He would accompany you if you wished, I'm sure.
I'll have to think about it. I'll take your glass, Inspector. Yeah. I shall have to be my own washer-up from now on, I suppose.
One last thing, Mr. Palgrove.
Yes?
Had your wife any enemies?
Well, she was a keen charity worker, you know.
Yes, I know that.
Well, strikes me that all these charitable types hate each other's guts.
Oh, Mortimer, sorry to keep you waiting.
Quite all right, my dear Lucy. I really shouldn't intrude upon you in working hours. I took the liberty of pouring for both of us.
Oh.
Not too much water in yours, I hope.
Quite perfect. I was just sorting out another little fracas among two of the charitable organizations affiliated to our little alliance.
Ah.
When it comes to malice, vindictiveness, and a desire to inflict grievous bodily harm,
Our old friends in Soho are as a Sunday school class compared to the members of the Flaxborough Four-Foot Haven.
Cheers.
Yes, looking at you, Mortimer. But there. Now, how goes the case?
Oh, it's over. All but the fella paying the bill, anyway.
A successful termination, of course.
Oh, by no means. Although I don't blame myself. The parties are reconciled.
Oh, waste of your time, Mortimer. I hope they're thoroughly ashamed of themselves.
I doubt it. I can't fairly believe the situation has changed. The lady's undoubtedly a frisky filly, and the fella's no gentleman jockey by the look of him. I can't believe that either would readily refuse a gallop when the chance offered. Still, one thing I've learned, the private detective gets precious little consideration in this country, unlike the continent, where divorce is almost a spectator sport. Over here, he's been given what nowadays is called a bad image.
Public ignorance, Mortimer. Mm. Public ignorance. What can you expect of a generation brought up to think that life is all cock and candy floss?
What do you make of Pally, then?
What do you think I should make of him?
I reckon he's a bit of a rumbugger.
I reckon you could be right.
They say he's rattling some totty from Jubilee Parkway.
That's one thing I admired about you, Sid. You have an eye for geographical detail.
Think he murdered her, then?
Oh, now. Sid, I don't think we should jump to conclusions.
You don't really believe his wife did herself in, though, do you?
No, I don't. But it was very interesting to see how appealing a theory Mr. Palgrove found it, once it was suggested.
Charity Ends at Home by Colin Watson was dramatised for radio by Christopher Dennis. John Rowe played Inspector Pirbright, Paul Downing, Sergeant Love, and Robin Polly, Mr. Palgrove. Geoffrey Banks was Mortimer Hive, Anne Rye, Lucy Teatime, Catherine Hunt, Helen, and Russell Dixon, Dover. Chris Hargreaves was Fry and Peter Ryland's Pook. Charity Ends at Home was directed in Manchester by Tony Cliff.